We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Turn around and say hello to somebody before you're seated. Hallelujah.
Hello, Pastor.
Tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. The camp still afloat? The camp still afloat?
Oh, yeah, camp's fine.
Praise God. Good to see you here today. What a sermon we heard Sunday morning. And just beautiful presence of the Lord in the building. Praise God. I want to read to you tonight from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse number 9. Just two verses, Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. And so let me try to put together a thought, the benefits of agreement. Or when we are in agreement. Or subtitle number 3 or 2, what are you saying? What are you saying? So let me try to put these thoughts together and try to help us a little bit in our journey to make heaven. I want to go. Do you want to go? I want to go. God bless you. You can be seated. I think for you and I to be successful Christians, we must live in an atmosphere of repentance. We have to learn how to forgive. We have to learn how to live in a state of constant repentance. Because repentance is the beginning of you and I being successful in our daily walk with God. And then after we repent, we have to have a life of prayer. I was praying a while back, and I felt the Lord quicken in my spirit. The reason why my people struggle to pray is because they feel that I'm unconcerned about their needs. Anybody ever felt like you was praying and God wasn't listening or wasn't concerned if he was listening? But if you pray according to the will of God, God will answer you while you are praying. But we need to pray in agreement to the Word of God. When we pray in agreement with the Word of God, we will get an answer. God will come down and give us the answer. The answer is not always exactly what we want to hear, but the answer will come. Two are stronger than one. In Matthew 18, 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Harmony always requires agreement. Now, one of these musicians could come up here and kick off a song in the key of A or B flat or G, And if they start singing in A, and the accompanying singer starts singing in the key of G, the harmony kind of gets off. You have to stop and regroup and start all over again. Any of you praise singers ever had that happen? The musician starts off in A, and maybe you start off in B flat, and you're wondering, what's wrong? We need to learn how to work not one against another, but one in agreement together. Not trying to one-up someone across town or even one-upping someone across the pew from you. Pulling together a team that is in agreement in one. Working together for the same goal and the same destiny, always reaching together in a place of agreement. Amos said in 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? In our little couch conversation, so we can get someone to agree with our justification of why we do something or don't do something, makes no matter if it's not in agreement to the Word of God. When you come into agreement, you come into harmony, and that's when God will move, when we are in agreement together. When a church is in a place of agreement and harmony, that's when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. And when the day of Pentecost were fully come, they were all in one accord. In agreement. They were there for one purpose, the visiting of the Comforter that would come. They were together in harmony, and they were in sync together. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the Bible says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. But that never happened until they were in one accord, in agreement together. I long for the day when we all get hungry for the presence of God, not just on church days, but 24/7. When we are desiring God in the presence of God, and when we come in faith expecting God to move. When we come in thinking this could be the day that I get my answer, or this could be the day that I get my miracle, or this could be the day that a chain breaks off of me and I walk in a place of freedom that I haven't been in a long time. When we get that expectancy, there's no telling what will happen among us. When we come expecting, there's something that happens when synergy takes place. One could put 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. It's not 1,000 and 2,000. It's synergy. It's something that happens that's supernatural, and a miracle begins to happen. 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 3,100,000, 4, whatever, 1,000,000. When you come into agreement together, there's something that begins to happen. It's not just a doubling. There's a synergy that begins to take place. And that's why we need to be in agreement. Let's get into agreement and harmony together. In Leviticus 26, 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." When I get you on my side and I'm on your side, we'll defeat all the enemies that we face together. By the way, I was going to say this before I started, so I'll say it now. Sunday is May 5, May the 5th. May the 5th, 2013, 11 years ago, was the first Sunday that I was the pastor of this church. So Sunday is our anniversary. I'm taking all dinner engagements or whatever. Sunday is my 11-year anniversary as a pastor of this church. It's the best 11 years I've had. I hope you feel the same way. So, this sermon fits that because we're in agreement together, and when we get in agreement together, the Spirit of the Lord is going to move, and that's when we're going to see the miracles begin to happen. That's when we're going to see the revival that begins to take place. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. What happened there? People came together fighting one common enemy, and when 2 began to fight, and when 5 began to fight, and when 10 began to fight, there was something supernatural that began to happen. There's not enough devils in hell that can defeat you when you get into agreement with God and with somebody else. God is wanting to move among us. And so when we agree with the Word of God, and not just our personal opinion, when we start agreeing with the Word of God, that's when we're going to see the supernatural begin to happen. In Psalm chapter 1, starting at verse 1, if my wife was in here, she could quote this for me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. When we begin to make disciples, when we begin to start pulling together, that's when the supernatural begins to take place. And we can come to a crossroads where we choose what we're going to do and how we're going to act and the way we're going to operate in our life from this day forward. I made it up in my mind a long time ago that I'm not going to fall by the wayside on this last stretch on my way to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've made up in my mind I am going to go all the way with God. No falling back, no slipping down. And when I get 2 or 3 of you to agree with me, there's no telling what God is going to do. I'm hungry for more. And we have to get unified for that to happen. When we get into unity together, great things are going to be able to, or we're going to see great things begin to happen among us. Last Sunday after the sermon, after the service we had with Brother Lacombe, he and I and our wives and Aaron and Sister Lynette went to the restaurant to eat, and we were sitting in there visiting, and then Brother Whitaker and the people from Crowley came in, and they all stood at the table talking, and a few minutes later, there was another man that got up, and he was leaving the restaurant, and he came to the table and began to talk to us. He knew Brother and Sister Lacombe, and he was good friends with Hunter and had been there with them when Hunter passed away. And we began to carry on a conversation, and Brother Lacombe told me that when Hunter died, he was very, the gentleman was very grieved by that, and he came to his home and visited with him, and he helped him do some things and around his house just to help them get settled in because of what had happened to him. And we began to talk, and he said, "This is Brother Patterson here, and I just ministered at his church in Evangeline on Highway 97. And the guy goes, hold it just a minute. You talking about the real pretty red brick building church that sits on the corner across from the old shooting range close to the Dollar General?" And he said, and Brother Combs said, "That's where I was." He said, "Man, that place is beautiful." He said, "You know what? I've heard some good things about what's going on in that church." He was a Satigue. If you've ever been down from Iota, I don't know where I am today, but it's not in this pulpit yet. Hopefully my help will be here in a minute. If you've ever been from Iota to Eunice on the highway, and you get down there around them S-curves, and you see that sign, Satigue Farms, that's the guys. They own thousands of acres of farmland. And then a few minutes later, he said, "Hey, so-and-so's back there eating with us. Let me go get him. He's wanting to come talk to you too. He'll want to see you too." And he came, and he stood at the table visiting. He said, "Oh, that nice church over there crossing the old shooting range? Yeah, we hear some good stuff about that church." If you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, if we put our shoulder to the wheel and start pushing in the same direction, there's no telling what God's going to do for us. There's power when we come into agreement together and when we unify. The church should feel safe. The church should not only feel safe, it should be a safe place. Because when somebody comes in here that may have been here before and they've skint their spiritual knees up and done some things that they're feeling shame and guilt about, they should be running to us for help, saying, "Hey, I know where my help comes from, and I can go to them people, and they're not going to judge me. They're just going to put their arm around me and love me, and they're all in agreement together. They're going to help me." Our churches should never be a place where when people come, they feel like they're going to be judged or looked down on or felt to be ashamed for what they've done. Come on, baby, you can come help me. I need your help tonight. If any of that stuff, they should come in here and know that there is a help in this place, that there is a people in that place. They're all in agreement together. They're pulling in the same direction. They're trying to achieve the same thing. Hey, there's a place of hope and help in that place. I can come there and I can get help in my time of need. Come on, somebody. You need to agree with me on this. Our young adult children should be able to come home, and when they walk in the doors, they know that somebody's going to be there to put their arm around them and tell them that they're loved and that they're in a safe place and that they're in a place where they can feel the love and joy of Jesus Christ once again. Well, if you don't agree with me, I agree with me. You know that people are going to make some mistakes, don't you? You know that people are going to fall down and bump their spiritual head every now and then and do some things that they regret and make some mistakes. And yes, they will feel guilty over their decisions, but there's hope. James 4:2 says, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not." Why? Because you ask not. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And just because God is pouring out upon this world doesn't mean He's going to pour out upon us if we're asking amiss. Why? Because nothing happens in the kingdom of God until we learn how to speak. until we learn how to speak, nothing's going to happen. Just because we have to learn how to open our mouth and say. I remember a long time ago, I look 40, but I'm a little older than that. When I met Sister P, I was in Keithville, Louisiana. Chris, check this out, Bubba. I had went and paid my money to ride a bull. I had my cowboy hat on and my boots and my Wranglers. Come on, Ross, talk to me, buddy. I had some chaps I borrowed from somebody. I had a riding glove. I borrowed a rope. I had a bag. I walked up there with my boots tucked in, my pants tucked in my boots right there. They didn't know I wasn't a bull rider. I sure looked like one. I paid my money. God sent me there to be ignorant because my wife was sitting there. I'd never seen her before in my life. I climbed up on that bull. I lasted about 3 seconds. My face buried in the dirt. I remember as I saw a big white flash when I hit the ground. Boom. I remember when I was getting up to run, I was thinking to myself, if I can get out of this thing without him hooking me in the backside, I'll never get back in one of these pens again. But it impressed that little girl that sits right there on that front row. And I got to looking at her thinking, man, that's a good-looking woman. Now, this is pre-church days, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's a babe right there. And I got to thinking to myself, she's a babe, but nothing will ever happen if I don't open my mouth. If you want something from God, you got to open your mouth. So I just kind of shyly walked over there to her. Of course, now I'm the stud muffin bull rider. She didn't know that I had never done that before. I looked apart. I said, "Hey, would you like to hang out a little bit?" That's stupid, ain't it? It worked, though, because I had to open my mouth. If I hadn't opened my mouth and walked away from that good-looking young lady standing there with that blonde hair, and it's about that long, and man, she was just, I can show you a picture. She's beautiful. And if I hadn't have said nothing, if I hadn't asked, nothing would have ever come of that. And a lot of times we don't ask God because we don't think He cares enough about us to answer. Right? See, the reason why we don't ask God some things that we want to ask Him is because we're afraid that He won't even think of us enough to answer us. And so one conversation with a girl that I met trying to be cool ended up being a relationship that has endured to this day. But nothing would have ever come of that if I hadn't have been willing to ask. And then once I asked, we came into agreement. Yes, we'll date and we'll see each other and we'll start doing a few things together. She was working at directory assistance. You know how you used to call, and all you long timers ever call 411 and ask them for a phone number and you could hear the pages flipping. You young people don't know nothing about all that stuff. And my wife was a directory assistance and she'd flipping them pages, and I was working in the for Sawyer Drilling Company. And I was 17, 18 years old. I started working in the oil field when I was 15. My mom and dad signed a work release so I could go be a welder's helper for Sawyer Drilling Company. And so I was making about 2 1/4 more an hour than these my buddies working at grocery stores sacking groceries. And she was working directory assistant. She was driving a 75 powder blue Pinto. And all of that, we came into agreement together, and we ended up getting married. But none of that would have ever happened if I hadn't have been willing to say something. I don't even know how to get back to what I was talking about. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get back on this sermon right here. Lord help me. Brother Lacombe. But until I said something, nothing would have ever happened. The Bible says for us to ask and to seek and to knock. Right? Ask and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Or ask and it shall... Well, I don't know. You know how it goes. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. In order for you and I to get something out from God, we've got to ask God. In order for you and I to get something in the will of God, we've got to agree with the Word of God. And not only do we have to agree to the Word of God, we have to agree with one another. And when we come into agreement with one another, we are setting the stage. When you agree with the Word of God, agree with one another, and ask God according to His Word, you are a prime candidate for your miracle. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you ask amiss, you're not going to get it. But if you ask according to the Word of God and you are in agreement with the Word of God and agreement with your brothers and sisters in the church of God, you are going to get a miracle. What happens when somebody that has been away from God decides, I've got to get back to God, but they are opposing themselves. They are opposing what they know is right. They are opposing the Word of God. They are opposing themselves in their walk with God. And they have to decide, I've got to come into agreement with what I know is right. And when they come into agreement with what they know is right, according to the Word of God, and come sliding into the altar, guess what happens? God visits them there. And when God visits them there, there's a restoration that takes place. And when restoration takes place, you are a prime candidate to walk in the favor and the will of God, to see God begin to work for you. Hallelujah. Our world today is not in agreement. That's why there's so much chaos in the world today. The political parties are not in agreement. Nation against nation, tribe against tribe. We're seeing the fulfillment of the Word of God taking place in our society today. Everything is in a chaotic upheaval right now. Everything is turned upside down. Why? Because mankind is outside of the agreement of God Almighty. How do we get back into agreement together? We claim the Word of God in our life and we begin to unify together. And when we do those things, we will see the miracle power of God begin to happen. We have to speak life. We have to speak life over our ministry. We have to speak life over our family. We have to speak life over our church family. We've got to speak life over our community. We've got to speak life over our children. We've got to speak life over our church members. We've got to speak life over the prodigals again. Remember the spies? Remember the spies that Moses sent out to go spy out the land that God had already told them He would give it to them? They spied it out so they could set their game plan up to overtake the land. And they come back and there was a bunch of those guys saying, oh, no, no, there's giants there. We can't overtake that land. And here comes Joshua and Caleb by. And they said, oh, yeah, we're well able to possess the land. They were the only two that were in agreement with what God had told them would happen. Guess what? All of them were right. The ones who said they couldn't, did not, and the ones that said they could, did. When you come into agreement with God's purpose, you're going. They were 80 years old, and Joshua was still saying, when God gives us the word, I'm going to go get my mountain over there. You've got to make up in your mind, yes, I may have fallen down. Yes, I may have made some mistakes. Yes, I've been outside of my agreement to the Word of God. But I'm getting myself back in alignment, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to be an overcomer, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to have God's favor, and I'm going to have joy unspeakable. Oh, come on, somebody. They wandered around till they died in the wilderness, those that said they couldn't. Now you tell me those that said they couldn't were right because they didn't. Those that said they could did. Hey, you're not too old to get your fulfillment of your miracle. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been living for God, how long you've been coming to the house of God, what you've been doing, if you've been praying over something that you know that is the will of God for you to come to pass, you just keep on praying because you're one prayer meeting away from a miracle happening. We've got to start seeing it and believing it. I speak favor in the name of Jesus. I had a buddy of mine who sent me a message the other day, and I've been knowing him for several years, and he said, Brother Tom, he said, I need you to pray for something. He said, you seem to be blessed monetarily. And I said, what? Explain. He said, well, it seems like God always takes care of all of your needs. And I said, yes, I'll agree that He does that. He said, how is that? I said, because I have aligned myself to the principles of the Word of God. And I follow those principles and God obey. He said, would you do me a favor? I need a financial miracle. Would you pray for me? I said, sure will. And I didn't even pray with him right then. I just hung up the phone with him and just said, Lord, I need you to help my friend here. He's got a financial need. He messaged me back about a week later. He said, you prayed, didn't you? He said, I need you to pray again because immediately when you prayed, I got an unexpected sale. He's a salesman that I didn't even work for. It just came to me and fell in my lap, and it was a blessing to me like I had never seen before. He said, would you pray one more time? Because I've got something that I think God wants to do for me. And if you'll pray, I believe it'll come to pass. Guess what? It came to pass. When you get in alignment, when you get in alignment to the purpose and the will of God, you're going to see the miracle. He is bound to His word. When you come in agreement with that, with God, and quit wrestling with God, whether I should or whether I shouldn't, listen to me. If you think it's the will of God and if it's in the Word of God, would you be obedient to that so you can get the miracle that God has ready for you? Some of you. Time for us to decree some things and then example it to the world. I just never get away from it. Do you know, this is not in my notes, I just thought about it. When the children of Israel, when God decided He was going to bring the plagues on the Egyptians to get them out of bondage, when He decided He was going to bring the plagues on them, as dark as it got in Egypt, there was always light in Goshen. I just got a feeling that as dark as this world gets, God's going to take care of His church. He don't love the Israelites any more than He loves you. And He kept them in the light when darkness was overtaking the nation of Egypt. When the plagues came, and when the death angel was finally coming to take the firstborn of anybody that didn't have the blood on the doorpost. You know what the blood on the doorpost for us is, don't you? Jesus' name, baptism, ingesting of the Holy Ghost, ingesting of the Lamb. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got the blood on the doorpost. The death angel came. When the death angel come, there was darkness that fell over the nation of Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. Don't tell me God can't keep us when we're in agreement with His Word. Those Israelites had to get into agreement. Here's the plan. You go home and you kill the lamb and you put the blood on the doorpost and you roast the lamb. Don't boil it. Don't do anything like that. You roast the lamb and you eat the lamb. And by the way, when you get done with all that, get your shoes on because we're leaving here. They had to get in agreement with Him. And when they got into agreement with Him, guess what happens? They walk out of their bondage. Guess what's going to happen to you and I when we finally get into agreement with what God wants to do in our life? We're going to walk right into our promise. This is a safe place. This should be a safe place. We should all work to be in agreement together. Why? Because we're wanting to see God do what He has designed and planned for this church a long time ago. Now, I'm 11 years into this thing. And we haven't even seen the fulfillment of what God's wanting to do. But we're gonna. Because we're in agreement. A few weeks ago, we had a service in here. And I don't remember exactly what service it was, but I had somebody call me up that goes to this church later on in the week, and they said, man, I had never felt that much unity in this church in a long time. Well, you know what? When you start feeling unity, you're right on the precipice of a miracle. And when we get into agreement with the Word of God, and when we get into agreement with our brothers and sisters on the pew, we are a time bomb of miracle power. Ask. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He had to open His mouth. Why don't you start speaking some things? Zechariah said in 10 and 1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. So today, I'm wanting to come into agreement with you. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it was so. The Bible says, and it was so. And there was a transformational situation happening there. Hear me today. God wants to give the Hope Church of Angeline a transformational revival. Now, I'm very careful of who I allow to preach here, because I'm not going to let somebody get up here and run roughshod over all of you people that I love. But I'm going to tell you what, every evangelist we've ever had, when we are done with the service, to a man, every one of them has praised you guys and complimented you. You know why that is? Because we've worked through any issues we've had, and we've come to a place where we could agree together for the betterment of the church body and the church family. There is a community watching. Oh, you know that red church where I hear some good things. There's a community watching, and we don't even know they're watching. And there's more people to come. We had one person come in this church and fall, or in the old building over there, and fall down, and half of the church in here now is because of that one person. So you never know what God will do when we get in agreement with the Word of God and then start agreeing with our brothers and sisters in the church. This is nothing like I expected it to be. Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like that I need to say this to somebody. Because there's a transformational revival that is coming into this church. And it's going to happen for you. But I feel like I need to tell somebody in here. I when I wrote this down, I knew it was for somebody. The reason why you feel so small right now is because God has brought you into a larger place, a new level. And on the level you were on, you were large there, and you had authority there, but you're at a new level now, and you're going to have to start from the small end because God wants to elevate you even higher than you've already been elevated. And you're feeling small in the transformational place. And you're feeling insignificant, feeling like I can't fulfill this that God is calling me to fulfill. But God did not bring you to that place and elevate you to that level just so you could fail. There's a transformation coming. And what God is anointing you for is so that you can be the one that brings those that are around you into the kingdom of God. It is you that is bringing people that should have led you, but you're going to lead them. And right now you're feeling inadequate and small. Oh, how could I do that? How could God be the one? How could God choose me to be the one to do that? He brought you to a new level. He elevated you to that place so that you could be the one that goes back and brings them that should have led you, but you're going to lead them. It's a word from the Lord. You need to hear me. I'm not smoke up here today, tonight. Wednesday night. I know it's Bible study night, but I know what the Holy Ghost told me. He has brought you into a room that is larger than you've ever been in before, and you're feeling small there and inadequate there, but He's not going to leave you there. You're going to grow there. And in that growth, you're going to be anointed for the purpose that He has given you, and that is to be the one that brings the others that are going to die if hell gets his way. Boy, I wish everybody. I was sitting there listening to Brother Lacombe, and I told Brother Lacombe, you know, he's never preached that before. I asked him, I said, well, he told me those stories about Hunter the week before. And when we were sitting in the restaurant talking, he told me those stories. I said, Brother Lacombe, have you ever told these stories from the pulpit? He said, never. I said, do you ever plan to? He said, never. I said, brother, let me tell you something. I feel that story would help hundreds of thousands of people. And I know that those stories, those confirmations that God gave you about Hunter would help people in this church that I pastor. I said, if you feel to do it, I'm not going to fetter you. I'm not telling you to do it. But if you feel to do it, would you preach that to our church Sunday? And when he read the text, I turned around and told Sister Lacombe, thank you, but everything's going to be okay. Because I knew she would have to sit there and relive those stories and endure those stories. And I patted her on, and she cried the whole time that he was preaching. I'm going to tell you, he used those stories. I was thinking in my mind, I could think of people that have been in this church before that needed to be hearing that sermon. That needed to be hearing that sermon, because God is preparing to elevate hope. And He has brought us into a large room, and we have felt inadequate there before. But it is the anointing from that room that is going to anoint you to become the vessel that is going to do great things, that's going to lead people in. And people are going to look at you and say, I thought I knew her, but she's nothing like what I used to know. She don't even look the same anymore. I have risen her up and elevated her into a place. Hear me tonight. There's going to be people, when you agree with what God is trying to do for you right now, when you agree with that, there's going to be people that are going to come into the house of God because you came into agreement with God's purpose for your life. And when you begin to pray and God begins to put that anointing on you and mold you into the image that He has for you at this level, people won't even recognize it, but your authority will have the power to do supernatural things that will impact people for the kingdom of God. Hear me today. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And there's nothing that's not that God is too small for. We may feel small in those places, but God is bigger than anything else. God said to me, I'm pulling you out of the small place, and I'm going to set you in a place that you have desired to go to and grow there. I'm going to bring you to a new level. And when God brings one to a new level, He brings them all to a new level. If you're ready to go, God is ready to do it. But we got to agree to the purpose and say, God, I'm willing to go there. You know, some people don't want to go because they're comfortable where they are. Hey, I don't want to stay comfortable where I am. I want to follow God. Hey, wherever the cloud moved to, that's where they moved. And I want to be following the cloud when it comes down. Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the building. Last thing I put in my notes here was, I was just writing along and I felt to put this in my notes. God said, I knew you and I formed you when you were in your mother's womb. And there's nothing that is too big for Him that He can't do for you. Before we leave tonight, I want you to link up with somebody. Find somebody, just take them by the hand. We're going to agree together. Synergy is going to happen right now. Two or three agree. And my name is touching anything. There I am in the midst of them. Come on. There's an anointing resting upon some of you. You feel small and inadequate in that place. But God set you in that large room so that you would grow into His purpose. Come on, we agree together. We agree together right now. Come on, there's an anointing that is resting upon you right now. And in your agreement with God's purpose in your life to fulfill that purpose, there's going to be a healing that begins to happen in your spirit right now. Come on, you're in a safe place. It's okay. We don't have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We've got God's grace to help us right now. Come on, I need you to agree right now. Come on, pray. There's a synergy coming right now. I have set you in a place, in a large room, and you're feeling inadequate in that room, but now the anointing is going to come. And when you agree with the purpose and start growing in my grace, that's when I'm going to use you in a greater measure than I've ever used you before. Come on, somebody. Come on, you're there now. You're there now. We're in agreement together. You're stepping through the door into that place. And your anointing is going to win mothers and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and friends and neighbors. That anointing is sitting upon you now. Pray us, play us something, Brother Spencer. Let's pray just a minute. Come on, lift your voice all over the place. Lift your voice. Come on, pray just a minute longer. You're stepping through the door right now into that large room. I know you're feeling inadequate there, but God has brought you to that place and to the kingdom for such a time as this. Come on, pray together. Just a second longer. Pray together. Just a couple of minutes longer. Come on. Great is your faithfulness, God. God, we haven't been perfect, but we are in agreement together. Take our fish and loaves and multiply it, God. Take that little bit that we have and multiply it, God. Take my stone and kill a giant with it, God. Come on. Come on. Come on, take this stone, Lord. I'll walk in the valley against the giant. But I'm coming in your name, Lord. He's coming to me with swords and spears, but I'm coming in your name, Lord. Take my fish and loaves, God, and multiply it and feed the 5,000 plus the women and children, Lord. Just take my little bit, Lord, and use it for your glory. I'm willing to step into this larger place, God. If you'll go with me and mold me into your image, God, help me, Lord. I am in agreement with you, God. I am in agreement with you, God. I am coming into this room, Lord, that you are bringing me into in agreement, Lord. I feel inadequate in my spirit, but I agree with you, God, that you can use me, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. I agree, Lord. Let me put aside the pettiness, Lord, and the things that just hinder the purpose, Lord. The natural things that hinder, Lord. Our children need a safe place to come to. They need to be able to come in here and feel like there's not going to be any drama, Lord, and things that would hinder them, Lord. They need to know that it's a safe place that they can run to. They've done something wrong, God. Help us, Lord. 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 I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and offer a thanksgiving to the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for provision and abundance, Lord. Thank you for favor, God. Thank you that you called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you that you've been long-suffering with me and you've had compassion and you've given grace and mercy in my time of need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Greet somebody. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're there for them. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.